My semester, my fall semester, ended earlier today. I don't have any finals next week that I'll be conducting. So in some ways, this is like a celebration week. I feel like this is like my, like it almost feels like spring break, not winter break. But partially that's because I've been enjoying such warmer weather here in the Midwest. I hope it's good where you are. Anyway, it's open lines. Let's have some fun. That's what I'm in the mood for. Let's find out who's hanging on because Steve has been waiting for a while in Fort Lauderdale for open lines on a wild card on Coast to Coast AM. Steve? Steve, you still there, buddy? After all of that, we waited all this time. We just checked on him. He was there a minute ago. JV is in Los Angeles on Coast to Coast. JV?
Hey, so I wanted to find out who are all these folks coming in to LAX. They're all in these PPEs, personal protection equipment. They all have the same goggles. They all have the same suitcases and so forth. And there's like at least 20 of them a day coming in here. Yeah, and I was just curious if anybody knew who they were and why they were here.
So it sounds like a convention of some sort. I wonder
Yeah.
whether, no, seriously, when anytime somebody has like matching stuff like that, what was your impression about their age or other demographic clues about who was at LAX that was wearing the face shields and had the suitcases or whatever you mentioned?
Well, I w asked, there was some parents of a young child who was in a stroller, and he was dressed up in the whole PPE thing. They weren't. And the only thing I could find out from them, because they spoke hardly any English, was that they were from China.
Oh.
So that's the only thing that I know, is they're coming in here from China. They usually meet up in a group with one other person also dressed in PPE also. He's not in a suit. He's got the mask, the full visor, and I don't know if he has the same valise, so to speak, but it's kind of eerie seeing these folks come in every single day for the last 3 months.
Yeah, I wonder whether that's required then from their port of exit.
It could be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe even required for them to return, they have to maintain some sort of protocol, if they're going to be tourists and they're coming in for the, holidays or coming in for graduation, for, a child of their own at a California school,
Yeah. Now,
whether
what's
they.
interesting is I only one time saw a child. The rest of the time, it's all men, no women. They're all
Right.
about the same height. And it's hard to make out anything, again, because they wear the same kind of $4.99 mask you'd buy at Ace Hardware. You know, those ones
Right.
that fog up all the time?
Yeah, I have a couple of those. Yeah.
Some of those are right. So.
All right. Well, that's interesting. I don't know whether see whether somebody knows anything about it. Usually, I'll go with Occam's razor here that the simplest answer will be the most likely, but I am curious. So, if anybody can help JV out understand that, Don is in Shreveport on Coast to Coast AM. Don?
Hello. Thank you
Hey.
for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a comment to discuss with you, but just real quick, try to watch look up a Twilight Zone episode, The Brain Center at Whipple's. It'll tie into your previous guest
Sure.
about automation and how it's replaced. But the next topic I wanted to ask, just comment about, since your guest was gone, my wife is. Turned me on to y'all. She's been listening, and I've eventually started listening since Art Bell days.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And both of us have commented and come to the conclusion that we find, like you, and find that you are probably the closest thing to the host.
Oh, no, no,
Or,
no, no, no,
yeah,
no, no. The
and let me tell
beautiful
you
thing.
why. Let
No,
me.
no, no. I don't want to go there. Here's why. But I appreciate that. First of all, what's your lovely wife's name? Just
Lisa.
so Lisa. Hi, Lisa. You're very sweet. The beautiful thing about Coast to Coast is it's always had a variety of hosts that appeal to different type of coast listeners. And I'm a firm believer that that's part of the legacy of the show and the blueprint that Art Bell had. in that he often had people that were completely different than him on the air. And that was to, really, that's to his credit. It's to George's credit that we're not all alike. And I think it's wonderful when I hear Coast to Coast, especially when I'm up working at night, and I listen to it live, and I'm like, sometimes I don't even know who the guest is. I'm like, who the guest host is. I'm like, well, who's this person? I've never heard before. Well, so
I agree with you, but it's kind of taken a direction, and this is the point I want to get into, is like twice a month they basically do an infomercial.
Yeah, but you know what? There's some, and it's not a matter of, I don't believe in your right to have an opinion on that or even a strong opinion on that. But there's all sorts of things that are at work in terms of how the industry's going, and it would be apples and oranges, you know, to compare that back to art. And I think we all have to be self-sustaining in a changing media economy. And I have luxuries that nobody else has on this show, as far as I'm concerned.
I agree with you being host.
Well, you're kind to say it, but I mean, my luxury is since I'm not on that often, I get to read the books. Right. And I get to do that fun thing that not everybody could do, is to really dig in deep on a guest.
And so, I like that. Yeah. And you disagree with them when they're not, when they seem to be really not a truthful topic.
That's very nice. I appreciate that. And I'll take that every time. And for some people, they hate that. And you're like, you never let the guest speak or whatever, because they're really just saying they were agreeing with the guest and they didn't like the fact that I challenged them.
Yeah, you challenge them. That's the proper way to put it. And we like that. We really like your interaction.
I like that. You give Lisa a kiss on the forehead for me and say goodnight and thank you. And I'll go first time caller line to Rich, who's in Seattle on Coast to Coast AM. Rich?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Oh, good. I just wanted to make a comment about the AI, if I could.
Yeah.
Something, Musk has been sounding the alarm, you know, about AI and the fact that there's no regulation to it. And I think it's not a coincidence that he named his car after Tesla, who advanced us, you know, 100 years
right.
You know, in technology. Where'd he get all that information? So Musk, he's talking about something that, you know, the Navy drones, they were allowed to make a determination whether to use, you know, to kill the deadly force, when Congress at the time, there was no law that allowed it. So if we're not following our own protocols, people should be very afraid, because
I love that.
You know, there should be a kill switch at the least, some way that anybody could shut any AI thing down. And people need to pass that. Maybe the listeners pass that on to people that, you know, everybody start requesting it before this stuff gets out of hand, you know?
Well, I mean, first of all, let's establish that we're talking about Asimov's first law, right? That a robot may not injure a human being, or through inaction allow a human being to come to harm. So let's live by that.
Right?
I mean, even if that's not a legal law, let's make sure that that's a law that is practiced de jure by the robots and their designers.
But you know that the military's technology is probably 20 years ahead of what the public knows. I spent 8 years in there, and a couple of years of special warfare. So I can tell you that, you know, only the stuff we've seen, we have no idea what's probably already, you know, out there.
And this is why I was challenging Martin Ford when we were talking, and he was a wonderful conversation partner. But that notion that we think we understand where we actually are in the AI/robot timeline, I don't think we do. And I think that it's just like that, just that type of research that is going on surreptitiously, which is suddenly going to make an appearance, and we're all going to go, what? It's kind of like how the stealth bomber, we didn't have any run-up to the stealth bomber. It was just suddenly there, and we're like, how long has that been, you know, in production?
And the government likes to use think tanks for, like, you know, people that are very intelligent, from like Mensa. IQs of geniuses. And for everything they can come up with that could go wrong, there's probably 10 things they can't come up with.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't want to say anything against Tesla because I'm a stockholder. So
I like Tesla. I think, he's a smart guy.
Yeah, he is a smart guy. He's kind of driving me crazy these days. But, the stock price got all the way up to, 1,200 something. And now it's back down into the just above the 1,000 range. And I'm like, there are times where I'll hear him do an interview and I'm like, shut up. Please shut up, because I want to go back up to 1,200 or 1,300, and I'm afraid as soon as he gets John away on something, I'm like, oh, no, there goes the I'm going to have to buy the dips again coming up. Thanks. Enjoyed that conversation quite a bit. Let me go to Tim, who's in Carson City, Nevada, on Coast to Coast AM. Tim? Tim?
Hey, can you hear me all right?
Sure can. Go ahead.
Oh, it's wonderful to speak with you again. Hey, I'm the guy who was out on the crab boat with the cassette.
Oh, yeah. The guy who was in Alaska. I was just talking about you to somebody off the air the other day. Somebody was and I mentioned you. I was like, yeah, every so once in a while I hear from somebody like that who's got like this really old cassette.
Oh, man, you talk about nostalgic. I was able to get myself a Walkman with headphones.
Oh, fun.
And I listened to a bunch of those cassettes, and I found one where you were hosting, I think it was Open Lines on the second half, but you were talking about Roger Lear and how he had mentioned there's a submarine naval base in Walker Lake, Nevada, and the submarines have these underground tunnels that can access the Pacific Ocean. And, oh, man, I remember hearing that. I did a little research on that, and I live about 100 miles from Hawthorne, Walker.
Oh, funny.
I've seen a sign on the side of the highway that says Underground Submarine Naval Training Facility or something to that effect.
And this is so interesting.
It's an lake in the middle of the desert,
I don't remember details of that show, but I do remember when he died. Only because I think I heard George mention it. It was 10 years ago or so, but he was a MUFON guy and very interesting. He's a doctor. He was like a medical doctor, right? Something.
I can't remember. The other thing I remember heard was they were talking about cryptozoology and Thunderbird.
Yes, I love the Thunderbird show. I keep going back to that because it's hard to find somebody that could really make that subject pop like that one night. That was a long time ago, but it was predicated on the belief that, especially when it comes to where we have our ability optically to be able to accurately or not accurately judge the size of objects flying overhead, and that Thunderbirds could be amongst us like giant condors, and they just appear quite small. If they're up very high, we don't register them as the giant birds that they would be otherwise. And then it was tied into all the Native American lore around them, right?
Yeah, and there's a little Inuit history about a Thunderbird.
Oh, funny.
When I was out there on the ocean, we would see bald eagles, and I was out St. Matthews Island, which is
cool.
The most remote place.
Yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah.
And I've seen albatross, and they are humongous.
Right.
Birds, yeah. But we saw things way up there, and they are way bigger than albatross. But like you say, it's very hard to judge the size of something up in the sky.
Yeah.
But
every time you call, you bring back such great memories. I'm so happy. I may have to go back and find in my Coast Insider, see if I can't find that show.
I heard Art Bell, his first interview with Mel Waters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
That was something else. I remember the exact moment I heard the audio recording. They had a recording
Yeah.
And it sounded like the pit of hell. There was,
yeah, yeah. It was awesome.
I remember where I was, the hair stood up on my neck. I was out on the deck of the ship, and we were butchering crab on the deck.
Oh, fun.
I had my headphones in my walk, and I was listening to you, you know, and I remember hearing that, and it made the hair on my arms and my neck stand up. Sounded that big.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Obviously, that was fun fiction, you know, that Art was doing back then. And he wasn't trying to fool anybody. He was just doing great radio theater. And I don't know that he knew whether Mel was faking it or not for sure. So he gave himself some level of plausible deniability. But I will just tell you, you know, a little bit of inside baseball. It was that show and then the famous flight over Area 51. It was those two shows that gave me permission to play around with that format a couple years later when we had on zombie invasion shows. And they were fun fiction, too, in that tradition. And I thought they were great. Mel's Hole was amazing. It was just great radio. It really was.
You know, some of the incredible absurdities spun in the wee hours of the morning with Art Bell were, you know, the highlight of my life. They were the most entertaining thing. You know, take everything with a grain of salt. It was a beautiful show. But I tell you, now Coast to Coast has got more credibility.
Well, you know, it's funny. We've always said, and this is true, this has always been true, is that we kind of stop talking about things when mainstream media, in this case news media, picks up the stories that we've been speculating about for a long time. It takes all the fun out of it. So when we're talking about something which is kind of out there on the edge, when we're zigging, we always like to, you know, we kind of, when other people catch up with us, then we zag and we'll go in a different direction. And I think that's one of those successes for the show. But so much enjoyed chatting with you again. And I love that box you have. So you'll have to keep me up to date on what else you find. Kathleen is in Pennsylvania, east of the Rockies on Coast to Coast AM. Kathleen?
How you doing, Ian? I love Mel's Hole.
Yeah, wasn't it great?
Great. That was great. Yeah.
Yeah. That was fun.
I wanted to ask you, you know, what do you think about IA and being in the medical field like a nurse?
Yeah.
Now, wouldn't that be great because there would be no mistakes?
Yeah, we'd like to always think that we could create something that was perfect. You know, it's kind of it's kind of like that Herman Melville short story, though, this wonderful story called The Birthmark. I think that was Melville. And it's about when we strive for perfection, we end up creating, we're sort of the architects of our own demise. And I just think, let's not think about being perfect or making it something that is infallible. But even if we can get to a point where people can go into a hospital and not get MRSA, that'd be a breakthrough, right? Coast to Coast AM. Well, you may remember a guy named Steve was hanging on earlier than we went to him, and then he wasn't there. He's called back. We'll get to him in just a second. First, Michelle on the first-time caller line in Iowa on Coast to Coast AM. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Ian. I have a question about AI.
Sure.
Well, we listen to Coast on our Alexa every night before falling asleep. And we also have a Kindle who answers to Alexa. And a couple of months ago, there was a program about empaths on Coast to Coast. And that night, I had left my Kindle next to the Alexa while she was streaming Coast to Coast. And in the morning, I found a new book on my Kindle about empaths, which had been purchased through Kindle Unlimited. So it didn't cost me anything, and it was a nice surprise. But I haven't been able to recreate being able to purchase that without my verbal permission. So I don't know how my Alexa and Kindle managed to do this all by themselves. I'm not sure I should leave them alone together anymore. So can you tell me how that happened?
Well, I don't know, but this has been an ongoing study. In fact, I went, I was looking this up. There's a part of Google that's called the Google Scholar, and it is a repository of academic articles and book chapters on particular subjects. And I looked that up because I've been really curious about this lately. And they have done study after study of people trying to replicate that, right? Where they, for example, they just leave their cell phone on and they're talking in front of it, and they'll keep saying things like Bombas socks, Bombas socks, Bombas socks, and nothing happens. But then if you searched for something and you forgot about it, your computer doesn't. So you might have searched for Bombas socks 2 weeks ago, and suddenly you start seeing the ads popping up. I'm not saying that's what happened in this case, because I too have witnessed those sorts of things, and they're freaky weird. And I think we ought to be very careful and keep our computers that are have at least some level of AI in separate rooms at night, lest they conspire against us.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, I'm with you, but it's strange, and I do know other people have reported that, and it could be too that it actually did hear that, and because the book was free, it just automatically downloaded it. I don't know. Okay, so Steve is in Fort Lauderdale. We're trying for a second time. You there, Steve?
Hey, can you hear me?
I can now. Thanks for hanging on. You're on Open Lines.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I think I was going for the Guinness record of maximum time spent in the Coast Queue.
Yeah, but we went to you and you weren't there, so I'm sorry.
I got cut off when I was in the queue before you got to me. And then
I'm sorry.
You got to me and tried to put me on. I could hear you. You couldn't hear me. It went dead.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So,
well, here's our moment.
That's all right. Go ahead.
No, here's our moment. Lead the way.
Oh, okay. So I know you were off the air for a while because you had a problem with tinnitus, and now I've got that problem. I've been holding on forever to find out what, if anything, you did that enabled you to get back into broadcasting.
Well, so I still have it. I have a rule. I don't talk about it too much because it's kind of the first rule of Tinnitus Club is don't talk about Tinnitus Club. So you're going to find, if you have it, and I'm sorry that you now, too, are a brother of the buzz, that, like my friend Dennis Carlin is going through and others, it's kind of a natural process. Sometimes it goes away, and that's nice. Sometimes it's nutritional, and that you should look at that. It's not worth spending a lot of time with ENTs over, because most of them just don't really handle that well. I would get a good audio specialist, so an audiologist who works with that. And there's something that I recommend all the time called TRT, which is a tinnitus retraining therapy, which is a way of sort of tricking your brain into not noticing the tinnitus. The tinnitus is still there, but your brain will be less likely to pay attention to it. So I was able to start having headphones on again after a period of time when I mastered enough of the therapeutic techniques that I could conceivably do 4 hours on the radio, take off the headphones, do the therapeutic techniques, and reduce any amplification of the tinnitus that I experienced that can sometimes come with the agitation of consistent sound. How does that ring to you?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Now I picked up a couple of techniques to where I can pretty much neutralize it during the daylight hours, and then I get it flared up. And if you're interested, I have a friend who's a retired three-star general who works in one of the spook agencies now, was in Vietnam and was in Iraq, and he developed it from combat. And he went to the Veterans Administration, and this is what they told him to do. They told him that you need to determine the frequency of your tinnitus and the waveform and project that particular sound, wavelength, and frequency back into your ear.
No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work, and here's why it doesn't work. Because it's not actually a waveform. It's not actually a sound. So you can't neutralize it. There are some Only in very rare cases is it a sound that can be observed or measured. Otherwise, it's an entirely neurological condition. It's the brain making up a sound, and you can't neutralize the brain's fiction that it's creating, essentially, by creating this sound. It's like a, if you think about it, it's a little bit like a holding sound while the brain is trying to figure out what happened to those dead nerve cells, which very likely could have come from being around ammunition, for example. And so he may have a high level of dead cells. Anybody who has dead auditory cells has the possibility of developing tinnitus. But no, you can't cancel it out like a Bose system. It just doesn't work. But except in the most obscure cases. And if he's one of them, that's awesome. Let me go to Vicky, who's in Alaska on Coast to Coast AM. Vicky?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say I really like your book. I've been reading How to Pray When You're Pissed at God.
Oh, thank you so much.
That's actually helped me quite a bit. I didn't realize I could, openly say anything when I was praying that I was pissed at you. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah, it's very helpful. I just want to say
thank you. You're very nice to say that. It really is. If nothing else, it's a very permissive book, and it is as permissive as I think the Bible intended us to feel in a candid relationship with the divine, that we get to speak our mind too, and we're not just cowering like a previous caller suggested, like we're all robots. We're not.
Yeah.
And God doesn't want us to be robots. And so, yeah, that's so sweet of you to mention that. Was there any one particular incident or something that has been causing you to feel a little bottled up when it came to prayer? That you want to talk about or not?
I'm not sure if there's a particular incident. I have MS, and there's a lot of ups and downs with it,
sure.
You know, depression-wise and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And
some rightful questions about why me on something like that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, anything that helps that, I'm proud to think that could be part of your internal conversation. I will look forward to getting an update that you have learned to write a really good angry MS prayer. And
yeah, I need to do that.
Put it all in a prayer. And say it like 50 times and just keep saying it out loud until you get it out of your system, which is what I believe God intends for us to do. So, you know, that's why we have the book of Job. And I, you know, it's funny. Anytime my kids read the book some years ago and they were like, they read the part, there's, you know, a slightly kind of dirty part in there. I didn't say dirty, but I mean, it's a part about my losing my virginity. And they're like, Dad. Didn't expect that. It's like, well, you know, if I'm asking other people to be honest, I got to be honest too. So there you go.
I don't remember why I look. I think I was looking on Amazon at books that you'd written. And that one I saw, I was like, oh, I got to read this one first.
Oh, good. Well, thank you so much.
It just grabbed me.
It's a great title.
I didn't realize there were so many angry prayers in the Bible.
I know. And that's what most people, you know, forget, is that's what it was intended to do, was for us to vent and for us to stay authentic in that relationship, you know? So, yeah, that's why they're there. I believe that's why they've been preserved all this time. And that's why on the cross for Christians, some people find it astounding that Jesus was quoting a very angry prayer at the time of the most painful part of his trial. So if he can do it, we can do it. That's what I always say. So Vicky, have a great night and a good best of luck to you on the MS. I know that does come and go a bit. And I will say observation. Thank you, Vicky, that, you know, it's funny. I was just reflecting on this the last time I was on the air. There used to be a time when a female caller on Coast to Coast was rare. And for that matter, female guests were kind of rare too. And it's now just like, you know, if it's not 50-50, it's 60-40. And I think that's terrific for the future of the show. Let me go to Michael, who's in St. Louis on Coast to Coast on a wild card line. Michael?
Hi. First, I want to say it's a pleasure and an honor to speak with you, Ian, as well as anybody that listens to Coast and connecting with what a wonderful staff everybody has.
Yeah, it's a great group.
Great group. You hit the nail on the head when you were talking about a lot of the things that us Americans aren't aware of that are, let's say, just not opened up. Quick short story. 40 years ago, a friend of mine, he just retired 33 years as a chief master sergeant from the Air Force. I had the honor to go to Whiteman Air Force Base, where he was living at the time, and I had the pleasure with himself and a lieutenant colonel to give me a semi-tour of the base. And they said, look over there. That's going to be our future. Now, this is 40 years ago. And I, a young kid at the time, made a kind of a I don't know how to say it. It was just a wrong question. I said, hey, can I take a picture of that over there?
Right.
Here's this guy. He's every bit of what looks like the rifleman in a G.I. Yeah. Joe outfit that looks
right.
A head taller than me, looks down on me and said, you didn't say that and you aren't here.
Wow.
He kind of winked at me, laughed, chuckled, we went on about it a few years
But later, what was it that you saw?
That's what I'm getting at right there. A few years later, the stealth bomber comes out.
Oh, it was.
And he had told me that that had been sitting there for 10 years that he has known of, that he had known of. So there's just so many things.
Yeah.
Last night's guest hit the nail on the head as well, talking about over the next 10 years, there's going to be so much more unveiled. It's not just the cats out of the box. It's
right.
Just everything is so evident now. There's no way that you can put blinders on what's before us as far as AI and multiple things. That's just skimming the surface there. But mainly I wanted to tell you what a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you. I love that. And that's
and George, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, and I'm glad you plugged the staff. I'm just coming up to the top of the hour. And I want to point out, just to dovetail into what you said, you remember what Moore's Law states, right? That technology supposedly was going to double every 18 months. Well, now it seems like every 18 weeks. And that is kind of the interesting slash scary thing ahead. Just it's Moore's Law plus these days. Plus one more hour of open lines next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett.